today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to another Code Pen Radio, episode 199. We're going to be talking about the Code Pen Spark. So we just hit a bit of a milestone. I guess that's funny. I guess next episode of this show will be a bit of a milestone too, episode 200. But
yeah.
we've sent out our 100th, I was about to say episode, but I guess it's issue, we should call it, of our email newsletter, the Code Pen Spark.
Yes.
So that's a milestone. It's almost 2 years, there being 52 weeks in a year. I guess it would be 104 would be an even 2 years, but it's pretty much 2 years.
We're getting there.
And you published on the blog a a little retrospective of doing it, because it's really you do the bulk of the work for this, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do the I guess you could call me the editor of it. And I put together all the content for every issue and write all the descriptions, and I put it out every Monday. But the technical end of it obviously wasn't built by me. So nothing to Code Pen's a solo project.
Yeah, certainly. It was one of those things where, I think in the early days we were like, we should have a newsletter. You know, I mean, we would send out marketing emails once in a while, like little one-off marketing emails, which we don't do so much anymore, because it's not that, you know, it's probably a mistake, we probably should, or a small team, you know, and we've been trying to like do it the correct business way, you know, measure things and make sure we're not being obnoxious and or sending you emails that aren't effective anyway, so why bother, kind of stuff. But anyway, that was kind of before the Spark, and now if we have a announcement, we generally kind of ship it along with the Spark for the most part. Like if we had a really, really big announcement, we'd probably make an individual email for it. But if it's kind of just like, here's a minor new feature or something that you should know about, a lot of times that's a blog post that just kind of goes along with the Spark. And we know a ton of people get it. I mean, we have statistics for that kind of thing. We're literally send it over to over a million email addresses.
That's really exciting.
Isn't it? Yeah. It's just a massive, massive kind of thing, which is great. And so in the early days, you know, I think it was, I remember talking about the kind of the Code Drops Collective in the early days. They still produce that. It's a really nice email newsletter from the Code Drops team that has, you know, it's like they publish it on the web as well, and there's an RSS feed for it, both a model which we followed. I feel aligned with that as a concept. You know, if you're going to produce something that the primary idea is an email, well, it's still just HTML and CSS. You might as well kind of repurpose it and syndicate it in as many ways as you can. And so, but, you know, they have kind of like on the web, it's kind of like a grid of like, you know, here's an image and here's a title and a description. And it just wets your whistle a little bit. Like that's kind of the perfect format for a newsletter. We thought like, oh, cool. The title can catch you if you, you know, the description might catch you, but certainly the graphic might catch you. It's just nice. So we, in a sense, our Spark is modeled after that in a way. We're like, well, we have to do this programmatically, like kind of, I don't know, having like a MailChimp template that you hand write every week is fine. I'm sure tons of companies do it that way, and I do that for other types of newsletters. But this seems so much like a template, so formulaic in a way that programming it ourselves seems to kind of be the way. Gosh, I'm trying to think of how we did it in the earliest of days. Was it always an admin console?
Yeah, it always had some part of it inside the admin console, which is essentially like the back end of CodePen that we administrators of CodePen can access, but it's through the browser. You know, it's not like command line-y stuff or anything that. But we had to, I don't know if you remember doing this, but we used to have to upload the images directly to S3. Like we had to use Transmit to put them up and put the items in through the admin. I had to get a manual list of the jobs and meetups, which was always like the most time consuming part of the whole thing.
Yeah, you kind of like handcrafted it out of HTML.
Yeah, exactly. So manually going in and getting all of those links when, you know, sometimes the job board would be very large or we'd have a ton of meetups, and that would actually turn out to be the most time consuming part, because just, you know, copying in all those links and stuff. So it was very, very handcrafted in I'd say probably for the first, I don't know, probably first half of the issues, really.
Yeah. But I mean, we tried, there's manual elements to it, which is unfortunate. But we tried to automate some of it. So
yeah.
When I said admin console, we use some kind of, we have various different, you know, admin things, as I'm sure lots of like the SaaS products have, you know, but one of them is just like this Rails gem we use that basically like hooks up to our database and provides a little like CRUD GUI for, you know, inputting new stuff into a database table or editing the stuff that's there. And we're like, oh, well, we'll have a Spark and it's an issue will have items and items will have a title and a URL and a description and a URL for the image for the thing. And we just kind of manually fill that out. And then we'd, you know, kind of hit publish on it. And that would populate, you know, our Rails like view for the website. Mm-hmm. And then we wrote some kind of custom thing that would kind of like, I think that originally it was written in JavaScript. We'd publish it to the web first, and then it would like yank all that stuff and retemplate it in like an HTML friendly way. Then we'd paste that HTML into a pen, yep. Right? That, and yeah. That's where you edited your HTML stuff. Yep. And then we wrote another admin system that would pull the HTML from a pen and then you send it out, because we use, you know, we have like a service we use for sending email that you can send it HTML and it'll blast out. So it was kind of like, it wasn't hodgepodge, but it was certainly, you know, clipped together different pieces of it, all of which were an attempt to, you know, make it so a little easier, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was our MVP of the Spark, which it certainly worked, but it had a lot of pain points to it, which we smoothed out later with the ETL build.
Right. And so if ETL is the first time you're hearing that acronym, that, you know, we have some shows about that. We have now an ETL system at CodePen, and it's kind of another common thing that companies have, but it's kind of like a separate app almost for your site that grabs like a copy of your database and transforms in which to do other things. And a really common use case of it is to have it be the place that emails get sent from. Sometimes your app needs to access a database to get information out of it in which to send to an email. Like, oh, we need to send an email to this user. Well, we need the user's full name, so we have to ask the database for it. Well, why hammer your production database for that when you can have a database that's kind of optimized for that purpose? So that's what ETL is. And at one point, we're like, you know what? Let's just do the work here and make sure that ETL now sends every single email that CodePen sends. We don't want to have three different email services bolted together or anything like that. So we've done that. And ETL now sends 100% of all emails, whether they're transactional or marketing or the Spark or anything else. So that was just feels very good. But so that was one aspect of like kind of modernizing the Spark.
Right.
And then what?
Well, we added in the different interface for uploading all of the content. Like, we put everything all into one spot now. Instead of having to upload things to S3, we can upload the image and the description and everything all together at once through the ETL interface. And it's so much faster, so much easier. It pulls in all of the meetups automatically. It pulls in all of the job listings automatically, so we don't have to go in and grab those manually. I think once we put that up, it probably cut anywhere from like 15 to 30 minutes off of the preparation time for each Spark issue. So it saved me an incredible amount of time in my day on Mondays.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think that stuff is important too, because it's not just raw minutes, because it kind of is, but sometimes like if a process, especially a repetitive process, is too rote, that your motivation to do it just falls through the floor.
That's, you know? Definitely true. Yeah, I've experienced that with some things.
Yeah, so, you know, you program your way out of it in a way. Mm-hmm. So we wrote, and we couldn't use the console thing. I forget the name of the gem, but it's just some very common, like, Rails gem for doing CRUD stuff. And we use it and like it for some things, because it's kind of like, oh, I just have a simple data structure. I just want, like, a free CRUD app for updating it. It's great for that. It's amazing. And we use that. But it's not super-duper-duper customizable. So we had this dream, though, that, like, okay, to add something to a Spark, a lot of times you start with a URL. You just, like, have a thing, and you want to – that's the root of what's going to be one of the things in the Spark. There's usually, like, 12 per issue, right?
Yeah, there's 12.
Like, things we're trying to highlight. And it could be anything. It could be any URL. But we often, like, you know – it's the CodePen Spark. So we linked to a lot of CodePen stuff. You grab the URL and we're like, wouldn't it be nice if you could just paste it in there and it would do a lot of the work for you. It'd pull the title and pull a description and pull an image if we had one and that kind of thing. And we built that out to some degree. And we had to build that kind of from scratch in a way. So that's kind of how it works. And then, you know, you can just drag and drop an image onto it for that and adjust the description manually if you have to. And it kind of guesses what type of content it is because we have that so that we can style it slightly differently if we need to. And so that system is just much more advanced now. And like you said, it kind of programmatically pulls other content that we need. And we have a special system for sponsors for it. So, you know, hey, we have an email that goes out to a million people. You want to sponsor it?
You can.
Please do. You can indeed. We have two sponsors per issue, ideally. And so that's all built in there. And now when it's kind of ready to go, we can, there's another little process for sending it, but it's certainly not as complicated as having to paste it into a pen and pull it from a pen. It's just all kind of baked into the universe of ETL. And when we designed ETL, we designed it with the Spark in mind. You know, we knew that there's going to be transactional emails like, you know, Sally Hart at your pen, but there's also going to be this kind of different style of email called the Spark, and we roll with it.
Right, and we made it custom made to make the Spark easier to do. So it was really nice to be able to have worked with it long enough to be able to intelligently say, like, this is what we need to fix, this is what we need to do. And then when it was all put together, it really improved the whole experience for me.
Yeah, it's nice. So, you know, and there's certainly more we can improve on it. You know, now that that's been out for a while, we could be like, hey, what else could we do to make this kind of even easier, you know? Or like, you know, like what problems have we had for it with it? Could we prevent those problems in some way? And a lot of that can be done programmatically and with design.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And I'd say it's really been worth it for us to have a really strong email system is definitely like a competitive advantage for CodePen. You know, I like to think of that stuff as a business owner, you know, like, wow, we have this great email system now. We hand wrote it custom to our needs, you know. Anybody else, you know, coming behind us or in our world, you know, like that's, you can, I don't know. They won't necessarily have this incredible email system that we have. You know, we put the effort into doing it. So, and then it's nice for, you know, okay, we business-wise, we sell sponsors in it. Mm-hmm. That's great for us. But it's not just that. That's not the only reason to do it. In fact, we'd probably do it even if we decided not to have any sponsors in there at all, because it's great for engagement. It's great. Maybe some CodePen users, that's their only way they engage with CodePen that week, is they just enjoy getting that, you know?
Yeah, I think the community value of it is amazing. And absolutely, I would continue to make Sparks every week if we had no sponsors. I mean, it's great that we have sponsors. Thank you, sponsors. But the community aspect of it is so important. I think it gives people in the CodePen community exposure that's very useful for them. I've heard from people, you know, that it made a difference that they had something in the Spark. You know, they had a job interview and they happened to be in the Spark a week or two before that, and they could link to the page that it was on, because it is not just the email letter. It's also a living page that stays on CodePen, and they could show off that they were in the Spark. And it's always very exciting to me to see people realize that they're in the Spark. Like every Monday when the issue goes out and I'm looking on Twitter, I see people saying, oh, I'm in the Spark. And they're so excited. I'm just like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's the same. It's just like picked pens in a way. People like the exposure of being picked in a way, and you as well, they should, you know, it's a well done, you know,
yeah.
Bravo.
Yeah. The things that go into the Spark are things that we kind of like super picked, you know, they come from our picks.
They are. That's a great way to look at it.
And it's the things that I think need to get a little bit more attention, or sometimes it's things that were not actually on CodePen itself, but were the CodePen community at large, like people's like YouTube videos or their Twitch streams, stuff that they post on Medium or dev.to. Mm-hmm. Those types of things I really like to include, because it shows people out in the world still using CodePen. You know, it's not just all scoped inside of CodePen.io. It's everywhere. CodePen global.
Right. That was kind of the idea, is that we thought we'd do, you know, like the best of the whole web kind of thing. And it turns out we do some of that, but it's generally CodePen focused, and I think that's kind of fine. You know, we don't link to like Firefox 62 was released with support for clip path,
right?
You know,
no, like, because that's web general. Really, this is CodePen community. Yeah, so we keep it focused in that
way.
Not
that we couldn't do that someday, but that's not definitely.
We could, but I think that would be a drift from the topic of the newsletter.
But I mean, what else? You know, I think I've heard you say recently, you know, that you sometimes you pick things that maybe aren't even picks for some like really specific reason.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like there's too much video, or it uses the camera, or there's something that doesn't make for a good homepage pick, but is great for the Spark.
Yeah, there are certain things that occasionally I've at least once or twice picked something that is like Chrome only, and if you try to open it in Firefox, like your computer will catch fire type of thing, you know? And being able to put it into the Spark with some context makes a lot of sense. Like, this is going to ask for your webcam, but you know that going into it. You're not going to necessarily know that if you're just browsing around on the homepage, or, you know, this is Chrome only, or this is, you know, or it's like a thing that you kind of need to get into and start using before you see what's cool. Like if the opening screen is just like click to start, and you might not jump in on that and engage with it on the homepage. But if I have started it and gone through it and taken a screenshot of the cool part and share that in the Spark, like that gets people to go check it out and enjoy the thing.
It's funny how it's like not you'd think that the Spark and our social media stuff would be like attached at the hip too, you know, like if we went through all the work of making one of our like custom tweets, you know, which kind of the ones that we author have somewhat of a formula, you know, a lot of times we'll do like the title of the pen and then who it was by, a link to the pen, and then a video or image of it in a way, which we should, you know, maybe we should switch it up at some point, but it's kind of like our format.
They go over pretty well. I wouldn't mess with it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And they're kind of easy to create because they have a bit of a formula, and they're just, you know, they're usually pens that are just like, wow, you really got to see this. And it doesn't hurt to have a 20-second movie, you mm-hmm. know, that goes with it, because it's just so great. But they're really unrelated. I mean, I'm sure that there's plenty of crossover just because we're, you know, sometimes cool pens are cool pens, but a lot of times they're not like, if, you know, we have like some abstracted system where you enter it and it goes both to the Spark and to social media in a way. Like, maybe someday we could program that, but they're really not right now. And I think maybe that's okay, and that they're not, you know, like there's maybe a reason to follow both, you know, like just because you get the Spark.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea behind that, is that I like to make it so that if you're getting the Spark, it's not, oh, this stuff I saw on Twitter this week already, or, oh, I already saw all this on the CodePen Instagram. I want there to be a reason to follow us on Twitter, and a different reason or an additional reason to follow us on Instagram, and yet another reason to read the Spark. I want people to have reasons to engage with all of it and potentially follow all of them without getting bored. And so keeping the Spark, you know, obviously the Spark has some of the highlights that we share on social media, but the Spark is its own thing, and I craft it intentionally to be the Spark. And I will leave off stuff that I knew was popular on Twitter, because I figure, you know, a lot of people have already seen this. Let me highlight something else that was also cool that kind of flew under the radar while this other thing was blowing up.
I like that too, because if it's just, you know, hey, wherever you follow us, we basically regurgitate the same stuff in just different places, kind of thing. That's like a little less fun, yeah.
Yeah, that's boring. I wouldn't want to do that. Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. Yeah, and I guess we mentioned sponsorship in a way. We don't have to go deeply into that, but we kind of, you know, we have help with that in a way. We use, you know, this company Buy Sell Ads we partner with has kind of a sub product in which that they kind of handle, you know, advertisement that aren't sold like on a CPM or CPC basis or anything, that they're like date based, called Syndicate Ads. And so if you need to, like, mm-hmm. you know, you're buying an ad for this newsletter that's published on, you know, Monday, November 13th or whatever, that's the system that works for that. And that's nice, because then it's kind of self-serve. So if somebody comes along, it's just like, yeah, I got a perfect sponsorship. I don't even want to like talk to anybody or deal with anything. I just want to like buy it and see how it goes. You can do that. You can just, you know, go to our advertising page on CodePen. There's a little calendar of open dates for the Spark. You can click it and you can kind of self-serve yourself if you want. That is some percentage of our sales for the Spark. And then oftentimes they are packaged up, you know. I feel like that's almost more than half these days, or some kind of like partnership that we have with some company in which we're like, hi, how about we, you know, put you in these dates of this mark, and how about we do this podcast, and how about we do this some other stuff on some other sites, and kind of group it all up as a package.
Yeah. And when we get the ads from buy sell ads, we get them through Gather Content, which has been actually an interesting learning curve to work with. I had a little bit of a struggle with a recent update of Gather Content, but actually I've gotten into the swing of things now.
Yeah, it's a weird app. I wonder how they're doing or what. It's fascinating to me, really. It seems like a kind of an app that, like, in another lifetime I'd like to take a crack at building, in a way, because it's kind of like, it's great for someone like me who runs a blog too, who like has mm-hmm. drafts of blog posts, and those blog posts have dates associated with them. But almost more importantly, they're in different states. Like, they're just a draft, or it's a draft that needs a review and sign off from people, and then gives you a chance to talk about and comment on things, but also edit things. And then, you know, then it becomes like ready for publication, then it's published, then it's completed. You have these different states, but it's all kind of customizable too. It's actually turns out, for being just like a thing where you put some content and talk about it, it's pretty complicated.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in there, and I can see where it would have to be pretty different for all kinds of different use cases. It's a real interesting app. And of course, we can't go through an episode of CodePen Radio without mentioning Notion.
Yeah, no kidding.
Which is where we have our spreadsheet with all of the upcoming issues, and we manage all of our upcoming ads in there, just so we know, like, at a glance, like, what's already sold, what's coming up. And when we have something that we've sold, like, directly, we put all the information in there so that we have it ready for ourselves to put out in the next issue. Of course, Notion always saving the day for us here.
Yeah, that's great. The kind of when they launched that table views, basically was really the clutch move for Notion.
Yep.
Publishing schedule. That's cool. And so, you know, and also, so we, you know, I said we kind of don't use admin console anymore for the Spark, because we ended up building our own thing. But it is in the same kind of spirit and vein of that, we do sometimes be like, gosh, you know what really makes sense to be structured data? This part of CodePen or something. We'll often launch something like kind of like a MVP almost, like, let's do this the easiest possible way. And usually the easiest possible way is just handwrite HTML, CSS, and JavaScript for something, you know, like, hey, we need a landing page. Don't overthink it. Just design it up, you know? And then maybe if you have enough of them over time, you abstract it into some kind of CMS system or something, you know? That's happened to us all just a zillion times over on CodePen.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of just did that with the challenges too. We had started out with a very manual process for challenges, and we've very recently put together a sped up workflow through the admin console that actually, I think, borrows in some ways from how we made the new Spark.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's now our brains thinking that way. We're like, oh, okay, well,
yeah.
Instead of, you know, now we're 9 months into doing challenges or wherever we are, we've settled into a groove here. There's a month. A month has a theme. There's 4 weeks. Each week has a sub theme based on that theme. There's a sponsor for the month. There's kind of, you know, you think in structured data that way, and it all kind of settles out. Every week there's three ideas and three resources and a graphic that represents it and all that. So you're like, hey, why don't we just, you know, make a new MySQL table that represents that there's months and there's weeks, and they can be associated with each other, and then rock and roll. And so I kind of floated that idea past Tim, you know, like, hey, can you make me a table kind of thing? And he, you know, was happy to do that. So we thought out that data structure a little bit, because usually when you have your front end guy like me to do something like that, I'm not going to quite understand the nuances of how the data is connected. And I certainly didn't. He had to clean that up a bunch, but it was cool, because we've also talked about GraphQL here on this podcast. So it was kind of his opportunity to be like, hey, do you want to integrate this into our GraphQL setup, so that our GraphQL internally will spit out challenges stuff. That gives me the opportunity to design the challenges pages in React and do a little React routing for the different pages of it. And Claire got to do some, you know, she already had some new designs for it, but we got to port them over into React stuff. So it just served, it was just an interesting thing to watch. I know that's not what this exact podcast episode is about. Maybe we can talk about that later, but it was like,
totally,
this is going to serve new CodePen. And it's just nice. It touched on a lot of like future points for us.
Yeah. And these content things kind of inform each other. You know, we learned a lot from doing the Spark. We're learning things from doing challenges. We'll probably take some lessons we've learned from challenges and port them back into the Spark too. So they all kind of feed each other.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because I can, of course, we can look at this and see the things that are wrong from the outset. I remember when we built, for example, speaking of the Spark and the new system we have for managing the Spark, we're like, you know what, our admin, our like handwritten backend to CodePen, where we do stuff like, I don't know, search for users and do stuff like that. We just wrote it by ourselves and just hand CSS'd the whole thing. But we did not polish it. It looks like garbage in there. You know, we're like, we'll just barf it out into a table. Maybe we'll clean it up some other day, but it's hard to prioritize your internal tooling, you know?
Sure. Yeah. That's a big problem.
Not a disaster. It's just not great, you know? And so we're like Jake at one point. Oh, RIP Jake.
No, not RIP.
Was like, we should just use like a CSS framework for this. And he was right. We probably should have done that all along. Like just bootstrap this thing. Who cares? That's what Bootstrap is great at, you know, but we didn't, but when he built this new thing, he did, I think he's Bulma or something, and it's totally better, but we didn't have the time to like then rewrite the whole admin in it. So now we have admin console, which looks different than our handwritten admin, which looks different from Jake's little Bulma middleman thing. And now we have like three different backends, and you're like, oh God.
It's funny. I'm so used to it because I'm in there all the time. But then as we've had new people join CodePen and then I got to show it to them, I'm like, okay, actually this is extremely weird back here.
Yeah. But he did use Bulma, I think, also, or one of these named frameworks. Maybe it was, I can't remember.
That sounds right, yeah.
For ETL. And so, like, if we were to actually correctly rewrite admin with Bulma, then it would be nice because it would look just like ETL, and that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, well, read the Spark.
Yes.
And sponsor it. Tell us what you like about the Spark.
Love it, you know.
And here's a little hot tip for people who are listening this long into the show. If you want to get into the Spark, one of my deciding factors, like I'll pick more than 12 things for each issue. I'll have a list of stuff. I'll have like 14, 15, and only 12 of them make it in. And very often the deciding factor is a really good description. Ooh. From the person who made the pen.
Yeah.
So fill in your description field. If you want to get into the Spark, it'll give you a good chance.
Yeah, do that. That's a great tip. I'll give you two more if you're listening this far into the show, too. We mentioned jobs and meetups. One of them, we have a job board. If you're looking for a job, obviously check it out. But if you're a company that's hiring, why don't you try it, too? And that we've kind of had this longstanding offer, which I thought we would just put up and then take down. But it turns out, like, I don't mind that this is kind of a forever offer. If you want to use it for free, just email me. You can email me directly, chris@codepen.io, and I'll hook you up with a coupon that allows you to use it for free. The deal is just try it and tell us how it worked for you. And then if it worked good and you want to do it again, then you gotta pay for it. But the first one, just email me and I'll give you a code and you can just do it for free. Because we like having good jobs on there, and surely your company is a great place to work. And then meetups wise, remember that anybody can do that. We don't like handpick people around the world to throw meetups. Fortunately, they come to us, and that's very nicely self-selecting system. You want to, you know, like you're probably kind of awesome if you want to throw a CodePen meetup in your town. We'll work with you and we'll let you know what, you know, we expect from you and what you expect from us, or can expect from us for throwing a meetup. We got a whole system for it. We have a mini CMS for handling it.
We do.
And we'll help you get it done if you want to have a meetup in your city, you know?
That's right.
That's it, I guess. Good job for promoting things, self.
We did it. we did it on the podcast. Amazing.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, see you next time.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye. Seven, six, zero, three, one, eight.